Good morning, church. Just a little rearranging here. Great. Oh, you're in for a treat today. You know the reason PowerPoint was invented? He got tired of pastors using this thing. I've got talents you'd know nothing about. And drawing on this board is not one of them. Can you see? You can. Okay. It's not going to be much anyway. But what I thought of is, I don't know, it's 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not quite sure. I thought, maybe I should draw that out a little bit. Just to, not that I didn't think you could understand it otherwise, but I was a little concerned about my communication. Well, we're in the middle of a series from guilt to glory to grace. I'll try and get this thing down so it doesn't get my breath. And I was going to do What a God, but I'm giving you a 2-for-1 today. I'm going to do What a God, What a Plan. Because I'm not going to be here next week, and I don't think I'm going to be here till about the middle of August. And I just thought these two should really go together. And then we'll, in the middle of August, when you have time to, when I come back, we'll do What a Path. And then, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. We might do What a Purpose, whatever. We'll see where we go from there. Okay, so I'm putting two together here. Last week we looked at What a Mess. We're in the book of Romans, and I'm using the Living Bible as most of my resource, but I from time to time switch around a bit. If you want an excellent app to download on your phone, go into the apps and download a Holy Bible or just Bible. Now, when you get there, there are a lot of them, but there's one, it's brown, it's called Holy Bible, it's at the top left-hand corner, and usually the first one on the list. If you can't find it, I'll help you find it, because this app has all the translations you can think of. But more than that it does, and I believe this app is free. There's one that says free, don't go to that one, but I think this one is free too. No, I'm kidding you, because that other one is, I don't know what it is, but they couldn't call it Holy Bible, because that would have been taken, so they Holy Bible free. I think that's the one that's free too. But the beautiful thing about this app is no matter, there's tons of translation, and you can listen to the Bible being read by some of the best readers I have ever heard. And there are times when, you know, you can follow along, And the sound, the guy is reading the Bible. And you'd be amazed how much more you will hear than read. And so you can listen to it in one translation, go to another translation, listen to it. Now, not every translation is recorded, but a lot of them are. Okay? It's an excellent, excellent devotional app. In that app, there are the Jesus movies, all of that stuff. It's just an excellent app. So if you've got it, yes. Yeah, but when you go to get the app, you're exactly right. But when you go to get the app, if you Google YouVersion, it doesn't show up. But when you go in it, you'll see it's YouVersion, YouVersion, okay? But when you Google YouVersion or go in the app thing, I did it this morning to make sure. It never showed up. And so I had to go, the Holy Bible, or Bible, it'll come up and it's brown, but it is the YouVersion. When you go into it, it's YouVersion. And it's an excellent, excellent app. Okay, and it doesn't take up a lot of room. It's just a good thing. That's enough. I'm not selling it. Okay? I just think sometimes that it's good to listen to the Word of God being read. You could listen to the book of Revelation in an hour almost, a little over an hour. You could listen to the whole book. Read beautifully. And you can follow it. You can follow it along with your app. Just turn the pages, and the guy just keeps going. And until you stop him, he'll just keep going. And you can start it wherever you want him to start him. And it's just phenomenal. It's just a great. You know that sometimes I do it just to find out the pronunciation of the Old Testament words. They got those names in the back. I have a clue. I figure, well, this guy's got to have a clue. He's probably got his doctorate or something. Okay, I'm wasting my time here. So anyway, last week we looked at what a mess. If you're in Romans, turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. I'm just going to read it. What a mess. The thing that we got to realize in this whole series is that God loves us. God wants to have a relationship with us. God created us to have this relationship. And sin entered into the world and destroyed this relationship. And now we're looking at how God is going to restore the relationship that He has with us and the tremendous plan that He had to make it happen. It's the more I think about this, the more excited I become. Is it me or this or what? What type? Okay. The more excited I become, it just blows my mind at the creativity and the greatness of God in providing salvation. This was no small endeavor. It happened long ago, and it's available to us. So what a mess. This is a mess. We'll just take a look at it really fast. It's a kind of a summary in chapter 3, starting at verse 10. As the scriptures say, no one is good. No one in all the world is innocent. Remember, we looked at it last week. Not even the religious people. Not the judgmental. None of those. No one has ever really followed God's path or even truly wanted to. Everyone has turned away. All have gone wrong. No one anywhere kept on doing what was right. Not one. Not the religious people. Not one. That's what the Bible. This is the summation of the mess that we're in. Their talk is foul and filthy like stench from an open grave. Their tongues are loaded with lies. Everything they say has in it the sting and poison of deadly snakes. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They are quick to kill, hating anyone who disagrees with them. Wherever they go, they leave misery and trouble behind them. This is the world in which we live. And they have never known what it is like to feel secure or enjoy God's blessing. They care nothing about God, nor what He thinks of them. So the whole world stands hushed and guilty before Almighty God. And all the religions of the world are trying to find ways in which, by their own efforts, they can somehow appease God, somehow build a relationship back with Him, somehow. And the Bible says very clearly, now do you see it, verse 20, no one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what the law commands. In other words, you can't make it right. I can't make it right. The law wasn't given to us so that if we kept it, it would make us right. The law was given to show us how sinful we really are. Bottom line. For the more we know of God's laws, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying them. His laws only serve to make us see that we are sinners. The bottom line of this is, man is totally separated from the God that created him, and he cannot think of any way or come up with any way that would appease God and make it happen so that he would have a relationship with God. It ain't going to happen from our side on. It's got to happen from his side down. What a God! He did it. What a God. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But God has made a way to make people right with Him without the law. Verse 22, God makes people right with Himself through their faith in Jesus Christ. This is true for all who believe in Christ, because all people are the same. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard, and we all need to be made right with God by His grace, which is a free gift. They need to be made free from sin through Jesus Christ. God sent him to die. This is important now. God sent him to die in our place. Okay? To take away sins. God gave Jesus to show today what he does is right. God did this so that he could judge rightly. God sent Jesus to do several things. To take our place, but also to keep his judgment. So that he could judge rightly. So he could, God could not, because of his holiness, overlook our sins. They needed to be judged. God could not remain holy and just forget about it and say, well, we'll try again. He had to deal with our sins. He had to deal righteously with them so that he could make right any person who has faith in Jesus. How does God make man right? That's what we want to look at. What is his plan? What was the plan that he came up with? Holiness demands that our sin is punished. God's mercy compels that the sinner be loved. How can God do both? God has a way. And it's a phenomenal way. And the beautiful thing is it's a gift to us. Because he wants this relationship way more than we ever desired it. Right from the very beginning, he decided to walk with man, talk with man in the cool of the evening. He wants this relationship. What a plan. Romans chapter 5. Now, we are going to cover a lot of Bible and a lot of theology today. Okay? So, but not heavy. Don't worry, don't let the word theology get you. So you just pay attention, and when I tell you to circle something or mark it down, and I'll put it over here a little bit to help you out, you'll find out. Okay? Because here's the plan. Sin came into the world because of what one man did. Get it? Sin came into the world because of what one man did, and with sin came death. That is why everyone must die, because everyone has sinned. One man sinned. And so death ruled all people because of that one man. That man was Adam. Okay? Adam. Over here. And out of Adam came all mankind. Down through the centuries, all came out of that one man. And because of what that one man did, we've been constituted sinners. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, that's not fair. Well, maybe it's not fair, but I'll tell you what. You're going to find something this morning that isn't fair either, and it's a way better. That's what the Bible says. Because of this one man's sin, all of us became sinners. Now, but now those people, listen to this now, who accept God's full grace and great gift of being made right with Him will surely have true life and rule through the one man, Jesus. The other man over here is Jesus. We got two things here. Out of the one man, we all became sinners. So, verse 18, as one sin of Adam brought punishment of death on all people, so one good act that Christ did makes all people right with God. Okay, we're going to deal with this. And that brings true life for all. One man disobeyed God, and many became sinners. One man obeyed God, and many were made right. Okay. Let's just take a pause here now. We do not become sinners, listen to me carefully, because of what we've done. Okay? The fact is, the reason we sin is because we are already sinners. That's not a play on words. That's a fact. See, one who sins is a sinner. But the fact that he sins is merely evidence that he's already a sinner. It's not the cause. The one who sins is a sinner. But just in case there's someone out there that thinks they didn't do anything wrong, you're a sinner too if you're born in Adam's family and all the world came from Adam. So the mess is bigger than we figured. That's why we can't judge one another. Because we're all in the same boat. And if we've come from Adam's race, which the Bible talks about very clearly, this one man, then we have been constituted a sinner because of what Adam did, and we were born that way. We were born sinners. That little baby that was born, I hate to tell you. Now, we won't go down that road because God's got special providence for those. I really believe that. But they're born sinners. Okay? So there are bad sinners, and let me tell you, there are good sinners. There are moral sinners, and there are corrupt sinners. But they're all sinners, all alike. We sometimes think that if we only hadn't done certain things, all would be well. But I want you to know the trouble lies way deeper than what we did. God had a bigger problem than just forgiving us our sins. He had to deal with who we were. Sinner. Part of Adam's race. Now, let me illustrate this a couple ways. I will this morning. If a Chinese man or woman is born in Canada and is unable to speak Chinese at all and has never been to China, he still is a Chinese. Because he was born Chinese. It's his birth that counts. So I'm a sinner because I was born into Adam. In that family. It's not a matter of my behavior. It's a matter of my heredity. My parentage. Not only what I have done needs to be dealt with, and Jesus deals with that as well, but what I am, I'm wrong, needs to be dealt with. I'm a member of a race of people who are constituted other than what God intended them to be. And by the fall, a fundamental change took place in the character of Adam, whereby he became a sinner, constituted so that he was unable to please God. And the family likeness we all share, it's not merely a superficial one. It extends to our inward character at birth. We have been born constituted sinners. Let me illustrate it another way. My name is Hubert. How did I become a Hubert? Did I choose to be a Hubert? Did I go through all the possible names and select one? And you can do that, but you're still what you are. Anyway, my name is Hubert. And in fact, it wasn't my doing at all. It had nothing to do with me, and nothing can alter the fact that I'm a Hubert. Sometimes I wish I wasn't a Hubert. And some of my school people said, you know, by the time I came along to school, you know what they said when we came in the door? Oh, another Hubert. That's the truth. He said right to my face, another Hubert. Now, I'm not going there. But anyway, I'm a Hubert because my father was a Hubert. And my father was a Hubert because my grandfather was a Hubert. If I act like a Hubert, I'm a Hubert. But if I don't act like a Hubert, I'm still a Hubert. If I become the Prime Minister of Canada, I'm Hubert. If I become a beggar or a criminal or a street beggar, I'm still a Hubert. Nothing I can do will ever refrain from making me anything else than a Hubert. Did you get it? That's our predicament. Okay? What a plan. Just a minute. We're sinners. Not because of ourselves, but because of Adam. And we can say we don't like the idea, but there's a better idea. God came up with a plan. It's not just because I individually sinned. I was born a sinner. I can do nothing. This is important. I can do nothing to alter this. I cannot, by improving my behavior, make myself other than a part of Adam. That's why all the religions of the world, other than Christianity, are false. You cannot, by self-improvement, get yourself out of the race of Adam. It's important you understand that. Oh, I bet you can hardly wait for the plan. Some of you know it. What needed to be found was another human being that was not a part of the Adam's race but was human. Enter Jesus. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God became flesh. God took on to Himself humanity and dwelt among us. God sent His Son. His Son said, I'll go. I'll become human. I'll take. And He, because He was virgin born and His Father impregnated Mary, He was not a part of Adam's race. And then He had to live as a human, not as deity. He laid that all aside. And He lived as a human and He never sinned. And He received all the temptations that we received, yet without sin. Satan came ripping after Him like you wouldn't believe, right from His very birth, right through to the wilderness when He tormented Him for 40 days. And without sin, He made it all the way. He never failed. He never succumbed to Satan. Fully human. Laying aside His deity. Not depending upon it. And just as we receive everything from Adam. Listen to me carefully now. All those in Christ receive everything that is in Christ. So we're presented with a new possibility. Adam is lost. Now the ray of light casts upon the scene. Through the disobedience of another, we are constituted righteous. Through the obedience, of another. Despair comes from Adam. Hope comes in Christ. One man disobeyed. One man obeyed. One man disobeyed and we all became sinners. One man obeyed and made it possible to be made right. But there's a problem. The problem is we're born sinners. How then do we get rid of our sinful heritage? Seeing that we were born in Adam, how do we get out of Adam and into Christ? Well, there's only one way of getting out of Adam, dear people. And that's by death. You don't get out of Adam any other way. You were born in, you got to go out by death. To do away with our sinfulness, we're going to have to do away with our life. Bondage to sin came by birth. Deliverance comes by death. Death is the secret. But how can we die, and listen to the little word, and be born again? Amazing that we don't like the term anymore, but it's really the fact. You must be born again. And the only way you can be born again is that you need to die. Now, just a minute, we're not finished. I know some of you are thinking, man, what kind of theology has this guy got? Jesus said you must be born again. Now, listen very carefully to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You might want to write this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced, listen to this now, one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. All of this is from God. So Jesus lives the perfect life. And then what he does on the cross is he takes all of that which is in Adam upon himself and dies. Let me give you another passage of scripture that says this. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says this. Starting at verse 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. We're going to talk about those two. Two Adams. The first Adam, the first man, Adam. Okay? Became a living being. The last, not the second, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. First man is of the earth. The second man. God starts creation all over again. Now he's going to redeem what has fallen. How does he do it? With a brand new human being who suffers all of the temptations, and he becomes the second man, is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those of the earth. In that family, as he was, so is everybody else. As is the heavenly man, so are those of heaven. Now listen to this. Just, verse 49, just as we have bore the image of the earthly man, we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. So, Jesus is told to do is two things. He's the last Adam, and he's the second man. Okay? Let me tell you when he was the last Adam. He was the last Adam historically when he was born in Bethlehem until he ended on the cross. He's the last Adam. The last one. The last human being. Only he's without sin. He was the last one. There's no more as far as the Bible's concerned. He covered all of humanity. He's the last one. Okay. And as the last Adam, he represented all of us were put into him. Okay? And there he went to the cross. And he died. And he took all of humanity with him. In the judgment of God, that's what he did. He died for us. He took our place. He didn't deserve it. He didn't sin. He became our substitute. And then from the resurrection, he became the second man. He began a new family. to get into that family, you need to be born again. To some people, this becomes really, really hard to understand. That's why I talked to you a little bit about getting that Bible and reading Romans over and over again in different translations. Just read it through, the first 8 chapters. Just read it through. Start over again. Read it through. Read it through. Listen to it. Read it through. Because you see, when we get to the place of talking about the path, how this fleshes out, this is reality as far as God is concerned. This is how God dealt with it. When we get to the path, we're going to say, look at the, how does this make any difference in my life? Well, first of all, I got to know it. I got to reckon it. And I got to walk in it. Okay? That's the path. But I tell you what, if you try to walk in this without knowing it, and this knowledge does not come from sitting in this room through the brain gate. This knowledge comes as you allow the Word of God to pour over your soul. And He says, when I died, I took you with me to the cross. And I died for your sins. And I died for your sinful nature. My blood covers every sin you will ever commit. My death covers your death. And when I rose from the dead, when you believed in me, as many as received him, to those who believed on him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. You were born into my family. I was the second man. When that becomes real in our lives, we'll realize that this was all by grace. It's nothing we've done. God gave us His life. He gathers us together and He becomes the head of a new humanity. The last Adam is wiped out as a race. The second man brings in a new race. Now, we are still part, we still carry this old Adam body around with us. It's a lot of the old that we still have that we have to deal with. But as far as my relationship with God, that's what we're talking about. How did God fix this relationship? How can I have a relationship with God? How can I have fellowship with the Holy God? That, as far as that's concerned, He sees me as in Jesus. He doesn't see me anymore. He's dealt with it all at the cross. He dealt with it with Jesus. From His perspective, that's how He dealt with it. It was His plan. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, the Bible says. The old things have passed away, and behold, they have all become new. Now, this doesn't just happen automatically. This means that we need to be born again. We need to step into the presence of God. So in the mind of God, every believer shares, I want you to know how God sees you today. Every believer shares the identity of Jesus Christ. That's why He calls you His children. That's why Jesus calls you His brother. That's why you are an heir of God. How did that happen? He brought you into His family. He couldn't just bring you into His family. He had to deal with the old family first. He had to get you out of that family. And the only way out of that family was through death. And the only way He could die, could have you die was to put you in Christ and allow Him who knew no sin to become sin and die for you. So now He can see you in Jesus. According to the Bible, we are crucified with Him. We were buried with Him, and we were raised with Him, and we're exalted with Him. And as far as God is concerned, we're in the heavenlies at this very moment. It's just a matter of time. Do you realize that those who are in Christ will never die? I know some of us are getting old, and we're not really excited about it. But let me assure you right now that the Bible says over and over and over again, you will never die. What do you mean? never die. Well, the body's going to cease. But you, the you, real you, inside, will never die if you're in Christ. You go right. For me, Paul said, to depart from this body is to be present with the Lord. Death has been vanquished. The proof of that is the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. My new position in Christ gives me a total identification with Jesus. So let me just finish with a few verses because it's very important. And I know that this is a hard teaching. Okay? And I know it's a lot to get your... And I know one thing, that unless you go to the Lord and let Him speak to your spirit by His Spirit, and let you know this. And that know is not a mental knowledge. It is a revelational knowledge. When He reveals it to you in your spirit, then you'll know it. Romans chapter 5, 6 and 8 says, when we were utterly hopeless, without a way of escape, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners who had no use for Him. God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. I want you to ponder something this morning. Ponder the achievement of God. He doesn't condone our sin, nor does He compromise His standard. He doesn't ignore our rebellion. He doesn't relax His demands. Rather than dismiss our sin, He assumes our sin and incredibly sentences Himself. God's holiness is honored. Our sin is punished. We're redeemed. God is still God. The wages of sin are still death. And we, you and I, are made perfect. I know you don't feel perfect. I don't either. But listen to what the Bible says. With one sacrifice, Hebrews chapter 10, another great chapter to read. With one sacrifice, He made perfect forever those who are being made holy, those who are set apart, those He's chosen. God does what we cannot do so we can become what we do not even dare to believe, perfect before God. He justifies the unjust. And what did He do with our record? I'll tell you what He did with our record. He canceled the debt, Colossians says, which listed all the rules we failed to follow. He took away that record with His rules and He nailed it to the cross. He trashed it. Everything held against you is gone. Now when we come to the path, you know, the thing is, Roy, if you preach that, man, oh man, we can just go and sin. Well, Paul thought you would think that. So he said, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid! You don't understand grace if that's what you think. For the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's what the grace of God teaches us. And if you think, as some did in Jude's little book, that you can just live wild because God's grace. You don't understand grace and you're not under grace. Grace teaches us to do good things. That's what grace teaches us. And I'll tell you what. All the rules in the world will never keep us from doing wrong. They'll just show us the wrong we did. That's all. It's the gift of God that'll teach us. Not only that, dear people, and I gotta quit. But in the future, what a power. See, He doesn't only bring us into His family, He comes into us. I'll make my home in you, and my Father and I will make our... Do you think he could make his home in us if we weren't the Holy of Holies? Read the Old Testament. The high priest could only go in once a year. If he violated that, they had a rope on his foot, so they could pull him out because they didn't dare go in and get him. If he died, they'd pull him out with a rope around his ankle. And God's going to, right now, not the future, he has said, I'm taking up my residence within you. My Father and I will come and make our home in you. The only way he can do that is he dealt with us. Our sinful nature and our sins are gone. What a God. What a plan. And it's free. It's a gift. Just take it. Does it change your life? Of course it changes your life. It better change your life. Let's pray. We've been long enough. My deepest concern is that you will not go home mystified. Father, right now will your Spirit bear witness with our spirit the truth of this teaching? Will there be a revelation that comes and doesn't bypass the mind but goes to the spirit and into the mind? So that we can see what a plan, what a God, that you would do this for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Roy. Great message. What a plan, what an achievement, and what a God. We're dismissed. God be with you as you go. And if you see Debbie again, just give her an encouragement, give her a hug, and you're dismissed. Thank you.